Hey, welcome to episode 407. I'm with Dennis Montalbano, and we're talking your health. Do not turn this off. Commit to listening and understand Dennis's recent brush with two major health issues, emergency open heart surgery and a stroke. Yes, we're talking mortality here and the consequences of what happens when. Now, here's a taste of this very special episode.
We always think that it's going to happen to somebody else. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? But you know what? Someday somebody will be saying that about us. So we just won't be around to hear it.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hi, Carm Capriotto here. In a few moments, Dennis Montalbano and I will have a very candid discussion on your health and your business. We believe we are immortal and everything in life will work out just like we planned. And too many times, we hear just about the opposite. Hey, please invest in this episode. Remarkable Results Radio is proud to partner with Napa Auto Care and the upcoming 2020 Napa Expo. It'll be here sooner than you think. Join Napa in Las Vegas April 6th through 9th, 2020 to discover the latest innovations in the auto care industry. This is an event you don't want to miss. Contact your Napa store to learn more. Hey, are you on board with our social ecosystem? You know, we're on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. You can find every link on my social page on the website. I want to thank Phil Leone, Robert Griffin Jr., Scott Thorley, Jeff Kaplan, and Troy Miller for their friendship on Facebook. And to James Woods, Vin Waterhouse, Bridget Lee, Wendell Thomas, and Daniel Thomas Pollard for their connection on LinkedIn. Our content is very valuable to every member of the aftermarket, and this episode especially. This is a call to action to have you share this with a friend who you feel will benefit. It is about eventually sustaining your business if you have a health challenge or not. What about a tragedy and the fact that you need a succession plan? Now, we all know someone who needs to heed the health warning signs and have a plan to keep things going just in case. Dennis sets up a true reality here, and I know your friends and peers will thank you for sharing. You may recall an interview with Dennis Montalbano a few years back when he was president of ASCCA. Well, Dennis has recently had one heck of a health challenge. In fact, a double threat. He speaks very frankly to you about his ordeal and hopes to shake a tree or two and knock you out of it. No matter your age, you must take your health seriously. No doubt, eating, exercise, and stress play a big part in your health. We are in a high-stress industry, and that, of course, is a leading contributor to heart and stroke. This isn't the first episode I've done on having a health challenge. Think about it. The interviews I've done were post-health scare. They lived through their health challenge and are now advocates on what you need to do to help survive your family, your business, and also to lead a healthier life. Yes, easier said than done, but if we continue to tell these stories, maybe we'll save one or two out there to live a long and happy life. Hey, warm welcome to Dennis Montalbano from German Auto Repair, Fresno, California. Hey, Dennis.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Whatever time zone you're listening in.
Perfect. Hey, it's your second time on the show. Back in August of 2016, you and I got together back when you were, I believe, what, president of ASCCA?
I was president the first time I was president in 2011. So, it was my second go around. And of course, we were a lot younger then, Carl.
The reason you're here is because I remember just a few weeks ago, you said, you know, Carm, God is not ready for me, and the devil's afraid I may take over.
That's pretty accurate.
And so that is really the teaser for our audience to say, what the heck's that all about? Well, Dennis had a very, very big scare in his life, and he joined the Zipper Club. And, you know, when I talked to you about that, what hit me really hard upside the head is the age of our getting older workforce, shop owners. Think about the average age of everybody in our industry. And are we really taking care of ourselves? Are we doing the things that are right? Because the reality is that there's a mortality in life and that there's things we can do about it. And I wanted you to come on and share your story because it may just change someone's outlook on taking care of themselves. Not that you weren't taking care of yourself, But, you know, stuff happened.
You know, Carm, I look at when I go to all these meetings with all the industry and everything, and I talk to all these different shop owners and stuff, and I'm starting to understand that the color of our hair is really the color of our industry. We're not brunettes anymore. We're white haired silver foxes. And our libraries, you know, they say when an old person dies, a library burns down. Our libraries are getting pretty full. We have done a good job of progressing the industry to where it is today, because, you know, we aren't working on the cars we were working on 40 years ago. And the industry's kept up with the technology. But I'm wondering if the people part of our industry has kept up when I see the aging of our age group. And you're right. I did have a pretty good scare. I went to the doctor because I felt like I wasn't getting enough breath. And the next thing I know, I'm in triple bypass surgery. And I realized then that there is a finite amount of breaths that are left in us. So I thought that maybe we could talk about that to the guys that are in our industry. But one of the things that I really wanted to stress was, you know, we take each day in this industry, we got so many cars to get out, we got so many cars to fix, we got so many customers to deal with. We talk about car count, we talk about, you know, average RO tickets, and we talk about all those things that are so really important in our industry, but we don't talk about the things that are important in our lives. And that's the message that I think we need to get out today, is that, you know, I was 30 years old 10 minutes ago. And by that I say, you know, I do some career things at high schools, and I talk to these kids, they're seniors, and they're going to go off into the world, and they're going to choose a career. And some of them are going to choose automotive careers. Some of them are going to choose other careers. And when I talk to these kids, I say, you know, when you look at me, you look at an old man, you're saying, no, what's that guy know? He's just an old guy. And I tell these kids, I go, I was 18 years old just a few minutes ago. Because that's what it seems like. The ride starts getting faster and faster as you get older. It's spinning at a higher RPM. I just want everyone to understand that we're the king and queens of procrastination in this industry.
Yeah, I have to tell you something. Let's just go way, way back and put yourself in your 20 or 30 year old self. And meet someone who's in their 50s and 60s and think that they were really old, and saying to yourself,
yeah, exactly,
that's so far away. I'll never, ever have to worry about that. And you know, getting old, it's nowhere in my plans or in my goals. And like you said, 10 minutes ago, bam. And that's the reality of it. And thanks for coming on and talking about this. I rarely ever ask someone who's on the show, how do you feel? Dennis, how do you feel?
Actually, I feel really good, you know, because I had the surgery in May of 18. And then in September of 18, I had to complete the heart circuit, you know, the whole set. I had to have a stroke too. So I had a stroke in September. And fortunately, it was not a very serious, you know, stroke that caused me to have a lot of lasting effects from it. But I do have some numbness in my hand, and I do have a few issues with it. But, you know, God just kind of shook me up a little bit and said, hey, pay attention. You know, you've got things to do, but you're going to leave this earth better than you found it. You better start paying attention.
So do you got a second chance here? Is that it?
You know, and maybe even a third. Either one of those things could have taken me out. You know, when you're laying in the post-op surgery and you got tubes coming out of you, and you ask yourself, what's important? Is that average RO or the car count? How important is that right now? And a wise old German guy said to me one time, when you go, you leave your keys at the door. And it's a pretty profound statement, in the sense that everything we hold valuable in our lives, we have keys to, you know, cars, businesses, houses, we have keys. But they don't mean anything when you go, because everything you had a key to is still here. It's going to stay here. So, you know, it's a wake-up call for all of us. But, you know, the point I'm trying to make to the guys that own shops that say, oh, he's an old guy, he's 66 years old. Hell, he's damn near dirt. But, you know, I want you guys to realize that, you know, we have to have a plan. But there's some people in this industry, and having been the president of the association a couple of times and dealing with shop owners statewide and even nationwide, We're a unique group. We are independent garage owners for a reason. You know, we don't like working for other people. We're pretty independent, but we have to learn to delegate, and we have to learn that if we don't wake up tomorrow morning, what's going to happen to that corporation? Because that corporation is still alive, even though we're not. And what have we done to ensure that that's going to, then, you know, it's not just us dying. It's a whole corporation is now at risk. You've got people that are your employees and your family, and they're all depending on that business still being there. So what have we done to put in place to make sure that that business is going to remain and is still going to be a viable entity?
Were you prepared, Dennis? Did you have that plan outlined?
You know, I did. And part of the reason that I'm bringing this up is that because I was president of this association, I traveled a lot. I had to have good people in place to open the shop, run the shop, take care of problems, make decisions, and do the things that a normal owner would do. And so I was able to lead my business. I was driving about 1,000 miles a month when I was president. So I spent a lot of time with not being here. And I really found out that I was in a point where that if I surrounded myself with good people, that I could push myself out the door and it wouldn't operate any different. But I've also met some shop owners that are really big on control. They've got to have all the passwords. They've got to have the key to that locker. They've got to have the ability to sign a check. And those are the kinds of things that box you into a corner and make you really, you know, you're so vital to that business, but you're not really, you're just controlling that business. You're really not. Anyone can be that guy. Anyone can be the guy that you want, you know, you want to run that business. Do you have to own it to run it?
Dennis, what does it take to get over that hurdle of control that, I guess, let me just share my thoughts. I've worked so hard. I've gotten some certain success, and I'm not going to let it go in any way. And I need to be the center hub. And to your point about the passwords and how the business needs to run the next day, I guess what are you saying is if it's not wife and if it's not family, if it's not man, someone needs to get this book of all of the internal workings that really make the company run. I mean, if you can't get into the bank account, I mean, there's a lot of things that prevent the business from running. Best advice on that?
One of our good industry friends, Malin Newton, had told me that he had to rush into a business to help the owners. He was incapacitated suddenly, and so he went in to run the place for him. And he asked everybody, "Where is the password to open the computer?" And everybody stared at each other and said, "Oh, so and so has that." Well, so and so's not there. So-and-so could have been dead, but he wasn't. But he might as well have been because he couldn't answer any of those questions. So my question to you is, I know that everybody in this business thinks that they're so vital, that they're so unique, that life just can't go on without them. You know, my dad used to say, I get up in the morning, I look in the pictures in the obituary, and if my picture's not in there, I go to work. And, you know, eventually his picture was in there. And his attitude was, is, if I'm awake and I'm alive, then I'm working. And his work ethic was pretty profound. But that was the Greatest Generation guys back then. So where I'm going with this thing, Carm, is I'm going to ask you a question. If Carmcast couldn't happen tomorrow, what would happen next week? Would that be Carmcast, or would someone else take over for you while you were incapacitated?
I thought about that ever since you and I got on the phone and we talked about doing this episode, and you... it's got Gonzo Weaverhead, Open Heart, you know, Malin's issue with, you know, he did an episode with me on that issue. It was your discussion with me 2 weeks ago that really prompted me to open up a notebook and starting to write things down.
Good.
If Dennis survived this thing, and it's not like I'm the pinnacle that would explain exactly what you need to do, but the reason we're holding this episode, the reason you are listening to this, the reason that we need to create some call to actions for our industry is that we are not immortal. And in your case, which was interesting, I believe it started from a diabetes issue.
Yeah, all my labs were perfect. My cholesterol was like nothing, and my blood pressure has been really low. And so if you looked at me on paper, you would say, oh, this guy's never going to have a heart issue. He's he's as strong as an ox. He's going to live forever. But what I had was I had diabetes that was out of control for a while. And even though I had gotten it in control and I had really paid a lot of attention to get my diabetes under check, the damage that was done in the process was plugging me up. And so like the doctor said, you had maple syrup for blood and everything was sticking to it. But if you looked at me on paper, so one of the things that I came out of that surgery and I started looking at all my fat friends and I said, wow, you could be walking around with an 80 or 90% blocked heart like mine was. And you don't even know it. And when the doctor told me, he said, you have the widowmaker and I won't be able to help you. If you have a heart attack, you'll be dead before you hit the floor. And even the best surgeon in the world couldn't help you. Your heart will literally take you out. So we're going to do the surgery. We're going to save you so that doesn't happen. So I'm starting to wonder, and I had lost several friends to that widowmaker. Hit the ground, just done. And one hung a key up on the rack. He'd just written the customer up. And before that key was stopped vibrating, that man was dead on the floor. And so, you know, it can happen that quick. But we don't think so. You know, we're in this denial factor that this industry seems to perpetuate. And so I just want to remind everybody that we are here temporarily. And if you really care about the company that you work for or you own, and you really care about your employees and your family, you ought to make sure that tomorrow morning is already under control if you're not.
Hey, Carm here to highlight why the NAPA Auto Care Program may be right for you. Let's talk about warranties. How long do you warranty your repairs or services for your customers? Does your warranty cover your customers anywhere in the country? Now, if you're a NAPA Auto Care Center, you have confidence in knowing your customers are covered for 24 months or 24,000 miles nationwide. Now, that's because one of the many benefits of the NAPA Auto Care Program is the nationwide peace of mind warranty. The Nationwide Peace of Mind Warranty provides the best coverage in the industry, and it allows your shop to compete with other national brands. It's a written warranty that is honored at more than 17,000 NAPA Auto Care Center locations from Florida to California and everywhere in between. Wow, 17,000 locations. That's more than any other automotive repair brand. When you're part of the NAPA Auto Care Program, no matter where your customers travel, if they experience a problem with a covered repair, they can count on NAPA Auto Care to be nearby to get them back on the road. The Nationwide Peace of Mind Warranty covers parts and labor on qualifying repairs and services for 24 months or 24,000 miles. And the warranty claim process is easy, too. If you're ready to give your customers the security and confidence of a nationwide warranty and provide them with peace of mind, knowing that they are receiving a quality repair or service, especially if they're unable to return to you for warranty, then NAPA Auto Care may be right for you. Contact your local NAPA Auto Parts store today and learn more about the Nationwide Peace of Mind Warranty and the hundreds of other reasons to become part of the NAPA Auto Care family, the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. Well, the widowmaker that Dennis talks about is, and I don't know the exact medical term for it, but it is a very, very important vein in the heart that supplies blood, and it's got an interesting bend to it and usually gets clogged in that area. And most men die, and some drop over. They don't even get a second chance. And when they do the autopsy, they say, widowmaker was blocked, and that's what caused it. You're one of those fortunate guys. And I've never told this ever on the podcast, and I'm here to get as transparent as I can. And I did share this with you. I had a 98% blockage in that vein myself. And I was lucky enough not to get opened with the scalpel, but I had a stent. Boy, could I relate to what Dennis talked to me about and what he's going through and the second chance that I got. And that's that mortality thing, you know, all of a sudden, boom. You're 55 years old, and you've got the mind of an 18-year-old and the energy of a 25-year-old, and you're saying, "What the hell's going on here?" And I think that's the stark reality. You brought it up. Think of the stress that we in this business create for ourselves. We've had growing a business, the challenges early on. You were a Snap-on dealer for how long?
I was a dealer for 8 years, and I was their district manager for 7. So I spent 15 years with Snap-on.
And there was no stress there?
Oh, my God. Stress was the middle name. I mean, we had to have our numbers by Friday. And if you didn't have your numbers by Friday, then you were in trouble. But, you know, the thing that was what it taught me, though, in this industry was the goal setting. We had to tell you, we had to forecast a year in advance what that week was going to be. So if you had a killer week, you knew that a year from today, you're going to be up against those numbers. So, yeah, no, I know all about pressure. And you know, we put pressure on ourselves. We're our biggest pressure generator. You know, there's people that just, you know, they don't care. I have employees that they wake up in a new world every day like a goose. You know, they don't have a care in the world. They just come to work and they go home and turn on the tube and watch TV. And they don't have, they don't care about, wow, is this quarter ending? Did I make my payroll, you know, taxes? And am I going to hire a new guy? I've got to get rid of this other guy. They don't have any of that stress. There's always something that's sitting in the back of our minds. You know, 4 o'clock in the morning is our favorite time to wake up and think about this stuff.
Thank you so much for saying that, you know, you had a beat last year and you had to have your numbers in and all the challenges of shop ownership. The key here right now, everyone, is stress. And I, that's what I want to bring up. I mean, yeah, okay, diabetes and, you know, the maple syrup blood and all that stuff. And so there could be medical issues on top of it. But please don't discount the fact, you know, I had a little hereditary thing going. Trust me, I know part of it was stress. And I don't want to discount the fact that we carry an awful lot of stress. And, you know, the doctors will tell you that right up front. You have a stressful position. Why would they be asking that if they didn't know it really, you know, had an impact on your heart and on your biology?
We're finding now, you know, stress and heart attacks used to be men-only issues. And now that women have entered the executive world and are running a lot of big companies and stuff, they're finding out women are having the same stress issues. They're having the same heart issues. And so it's not really gender specific. It's more occupational specific. And so we always thought this was a man's disease. That's why they call it the widow maker, not the widower maker. Say that fast 3 times. But the point is that we have to understand that, you know, I'm a diabetic, but my parents, neither one of my parents were a diabetic. So I can tell you stress brought on the diabetes. And I went through a real stressful year and quite a few years ago. And I believe that that's where that all came from. But the point is that I, sorry about the phone. Not really though, because if it stops ringing, I'm not going to be here much longer. But anyway, the point is that stress brought on my diabetes, and the diabetes is a result of stress. So some people manifest stress in blood pressure. Some people manifest stress in other issues. But one of the things that happens is diabetes.
Are there any warning signs that you would share? I mean, we know, listen, stop and think about your hereditary. Stop and think about your diet. Stop and think about your exercise. Stop and think about some of the warning signs that you're getting.
Okay, one of the major stress signs is waking up at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock's the magic number for stress. So if you're waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you're not getting up and going to work, but if you're waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you still have another hour or two left on your alarm, if you're waking up because you're working on something in your head, if you're waking up because something is, you know, we do that sometimes. Hell, I've fixed cars in my brain in the middle of the night before, and I'll wake up in the morning and I'll have the solution to the thing that was bugging me when I went to bed. And that's part of the industry too, because we're very analytical. You know, we think about all of these causes and effects with these cars. But there's cause and effects for us people too. And so the cause is the stress, and the effect is our health. And so, you know, if we see a car that's had really poor maintenance and then it blows up and then another car comes in, it's got 200,000 or 300,000 miles on the thing and it's running just fine. And it's the same car. Well, you have to ask yourself, what caused it? You know, what was the cause? What was the effect? You know, so when you look at a car that's poorly maintained and the customer says, well, I want to take this car to New York from California, and should I do it? And you say no. Well, that's kind of like one of our bodies. And the doctor says, no, you can't run that marathon. In fact, you shouldn't even go upstairs. So that pretty much tells you how your maintenance schedule's been.
You were lucky enough. I don't know if this is called lucky or not, but the doctor who did your surgery is a customer.
I've had several doctors work on me before that were customers, but this guy was not supposed to even be scheduled to work that day. But because he was friends of my son's family, of his best friend married the doctor's daughter. So there was a few extra little things that were given, nods given my direction. And I was very fortunate to be able to have a good doctor. The other doctors that come in here, because we work on high-end cars, we have a lot of doctors and lawyers. And the doctor that came in as a teacher at one of the local hospitals here, and he's a cardiologist. He teaches cardiology. And he said, who did your surgery? And I told him, he said, oh, man, you had the A-team. How the heck? How'd you get that guy? Well, you know, I fix his car, you know. So, but being the car guy has its privileges sometimes, too.
It does. So what changes have you implemented now that you're post-surgery and recovered?
Well, I'm taking a little more time off. I'm not working as many hours a day. And I've got the guys pretty much figured out that I'm not going to be here all day. And so when I get ready to leave, and if I decide I want to leave at 3 o'clock, I just say, okay, see you tomorrow. And I leave. And nobody's, you know, upset about it. Nobody's saying, well, gosh, I got all these things to do, because I'm not part of that. I don't want to be part of that at this point.
They understand that you just had this major life change, surgery, you know, 3 bypass, and they're giving you all that slack in the world because that's what it's if you will, maybe it's part of your recovery, stress, whatever it is, you're going to work less. But up to that point, had you just said, "Hey, I'm out of here at 3," would it be had been different had you not had the heart attack?
Well, when I was traveling a lot and they knew I wouldn't be in tomorrow, or I just say, well, I'll see you Thursday. And it would be Monday morning. I say, I'll see you Thursday. I'm going to Reading or I'm going to San Diego or wherever I was going. They understood that. It was in my calendar. They already knew it was happening. It wasn't like I sprung it on them. But when I had my heart surgery, I not only sprung it on myself, but I sprung it on everybody, because immediately I couldn't be at work. I mean, it wasn't an option like, you know, I was having some kind of elective surgery that I could have this thing done in 2 weeks and I could tell everybody I'm going to be gone. And this was, you got to do this by 7:30 tomorrow morning or you'll be dead by Thanksgiving. So, but everybody took, they all stepped right up and they took their job seriously and they did it. And, you know, we're like a family here, Carmen. You know, we look at each other like, I've got a guy that's been here almost 45 years. I've got another guy that's been here 20. I've got another guy that's been here over 20. I've got a secretary that's been here 10. And when people stay working for somebody that long, they've either got to like their environment or they got to like the person they're working for. And I hope that it's a little of both. And so it wasn't the boss having heart operation. It was Dennis having heart operation.
I like what you just said. I think it could resonate to everyone. Please don't wait for the heart attack to do the right thing.
Don't put yourself in that position. Because if you think you're stressful having this operation, think about what's happening to your business while you're laying there in the hospital. And if you're not confident that the people that you have running your business are capable of doing that, then you need to put that in place so that way you are confident. I never worried about this place while I was in the hospital because I knew it was in good hands. And nobody texted me and said, you know, so-and-so is really upset. What should we do? They never texted me and said, hey, we're out of oil, you know, and that's all good stuff. The only time they text me was, how you doing? How's your feeling? What's going on?
So let me draw a mental picture for our audience. And I'm speaking to everyone here who, I don't care if you own a shop or not, doesn't matter. If you're a technician, plan on a 30-day vacation to Europe. What happens now? It's the same thing as if you were going to, you know, get taken down for any kind of major surgery or an illness. Plan on, you know, say, well, I can't quite relate to that. Maybe it'll never happen to me. Okay, then plan on the 30-day European trip. And what do you have to do? Where are the passwords? And what if something happens and the boat you were on runs out of diesel fuel? and, you know, what do you do now? And I just am trying to encourage people to say, well, you know, I'm only 45 and, you know, I've got too many years to worry about that. And I have to honestly say, no, let's go back to Malin's thing. It was a motorcycle accident. I mean, you know, things happen in our world. And to me, I believe there could be peace of mind knowing that you've created a plan. And the plan can constantly change. Even if nothing happens to you, you can continue to evolve the plan.
Well, wouldn't that be less stressful for a stressful position if you had a plan in place? So that way, if you were that just the stress of wondering what's going to happen in your business while you're having this episode, whatever health issue or accident or whatever, if you've got that already handled, that's less stress. That's going to be better for your recovery. That's also going to be better for all. You know, the old teach you how to fish thing is still really, really accurate. If we put ourselves in a business that we're so critical that no one can make a move without us, we've really done everybody involved, including ourselves, a huge disservice. Because it's not about control and it's not about us. You got to learn to delegate. But that's a tough, tough order. And I understand a lot of people struggle with it.
Well, I think you said maybe up at the top of the episode, you know, that there's a lot of people relying on me to give them their paycheck every week and this extended family of everyone who works for you. That's got to be a hell of a motivator to come up with a plan.
Yeah, that should be. But there's an awful lot of people that don't have that plan just because they're either in denial or they don't want to give that control away. And it's freedom when you do that. It really is. It frees you up from being that stressful person that has to be there. I remember at one time I didn't have a service manager. I had a service manager. I've been here almost 30 years. And I didn't have a service manager for 3 years because I decided I was going to do it myself. Let's see. I had shoulder surgery on a Thursday morning, and I worked Friday morning. I opened the shop. Anybody that's ever had shoulder surgery knows that's like having your toenails ripped off or your fingernail. It's a very painful place to have. It's the only joint in your body that has as much range of motion. And then another time I had a kidney stone on the front counter. And I got to tell you, I didn't want to be at work that day, but I had no choice. I backed myself into the corner. And so I've learned. But the point is if somebody's listening to this right now that's a service writer, he's his own service writer because he owns a company, and he's also a mechanic. And he's also the parts guy, and he's also the guy to answer the phone. He's also the guy that writes the checks. Let me ask yourself, do you really think no one else can do that job? Do you think you're the only one on the planet? You know, I had a friend of mine told me, come look at my shop, watch me work for the day and tell me what I'm doing wrong. So I watched him every time he'd get off the car to answer the phone. It was hilarious. This guy's working on the car. He'd go answer the phone. He'd tell the people, yeah, it'll be done at 3 o'clock, or yeah, we could work on it next Tuesday. And so I looked at him and I said, Craig, let me ask you a question. How much you make an hour? He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, how much did you make an hour when you're working on a car? Are you making $60 an hour, $80 an hour? What is your shop rate? But every time you go to answer the phone, you're making minimum wage because you could hire somebody to do that job for minimum wage. But you have now reduced your paycheck. So what did he do? He hired a girl to answer the phones for him. His production went up. His stress level went down. He told me, he said, you know, I was so close to it, I couldn't see it. So I'm just wondering how many people in our industry think that the world revolves around their actions.
And you remember using, and maybe you still do you use a creeper at all in the shop?
I know what they are. I don't have.
Years ago, of course, the little four-wheel creepers, you'd get under the car. And I did a great episode. It had to be maybe almost 4 years now. And I believe it may have been Jerry Kazaya. And I apologize if I got it wrong, Jerry, and it was someone else. But it was about he and his dad, and he left the business, and he kept trying to pound into dad's head, you cannot run the business from the creeper, Dad.
It's true. Yeah, you can.
This is what's great about our industry. To get in it, many people believe it's easy. There's low barriers. Yet, it's an expensive business to be in. Think about the tooling and the equipment that you need, and just the sheer stamina for marketing, and having the right kind of environment for the customer, and all the stuff you have to learn.
I remember a friend of mine told me. He said, "You know how you make a small fortune in the restaurant business. And I said, no, how do you make a small fortune in the restaurant business? He said, you start with a large fortune. And I think that's almost applicable to what we're doing here. We jump into this business because it is easy to get into, but it does require a huge time investment and personal investment and even maybe health investment.
There's so many people getting into our industry, and that's really a good thing. We need people come up the ranks. They're absolutely needed. The challenges out there to be a solopreneur, you know, and run the bays and run the counter and do the and bring the paperwork home and do it all. Finance has everything to do with it, and the ability to make money, and then the slowly go back to your startup days. You know, it takes time to build a business where you can bring in people. But on the way there, the stress on the way there, stop and remember, it's going to take a toll. I mean, I think that's part of your message.
Everybody knows I'm only 5 feet too tall, you know, and I tell people whenever I'm public speaking, I say, you know, I was 6 feet tall when I got into this industry, and it's just worn my ass down, you know. But people really don't understand how hard it is to be in business today. It's a lot harder than it was. If you just look at the cars we're working on and the technical side of it, but then the equipment side and then the laws that we have to, you know, we're in California. We can't, you know, people say, well, are you a green business? We were the first green business. We, if we can't drink it, we have to recycle it. And so everything, every fluid that comes in this building has to be accounted for.
Have you ever stopped to think, Dennis, what the state of California's weight on the cost of your business is?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. They just changed the minimum wage in January. And so if you have a technician that, if you have less than 25 employees, minimum wage is $11. But if the technician has to supply his tools, which they do, you have to pay him two times the minimum wage, which makes it $22 an hour. And their goal is $15 an hour. So that would make $30 an hour for a guy who may not have any training, but you have to bring him along. You can't pay him $8 an hour, $10 or $15 or $20 or whatever you think fits, you know. And the sad part about California is they think that whatever works in Los Angeles or San Francisco works in Fresno and works in Ukiah or works in Corcoran, you know, these little towns. You know, $30 an hour in San Francisco, you have to make over $100,000 just afford to rent an apartment there. But in Fresno, if you made $100,000 a year as a technician, you'd live in the nice house, you'd drive the nicest cars. So to say that one minimum wage fits all parts, all economies is ridiculous. But I know you guys in New York are aspiring to be California.
Well, we are. We aren't far behind you. I mean, if you guys say left, we say, ooh, that looks really good and exciting.
Yeah, we want to go lefter. Yeah.
I know. In New York City, I believe I have this number right. I think it's $15 an hour is minimum wage in New York City. And there's something to do with fast food restaurants. And they just raise it here in New York. And yes, there's a it almost seems like you guys come up with a law. And New York decides that, ooh, if it's good for California. So, yeah, I think we're probably the number one and number two highest taxed states, you know, at the state level. And the laws and the burdens of the laws. Mm-mm-mm. Hey, I think we went off subject. However,
it's just more stress, though. We're circle back. It's still stress.
Yes, it is still stress.
And you know, if you're in Bozeman, Montana, I imagine you have a little less government interference, but you might have just as much stress. But, you know, might be minus 20 degrees there today. So maybe not that stress.
I so appreciate you coming on the show, Dennis, and giving us a dose upside the head of the reality check that we all have to have when it comes to our health. And, you know, you're a survivor. So happy. And you know, and give us a little bit of tips from your perspective as to how to try to be healthier, stay healthier, and then prepare the business just in case you have a problem.
Well, if I could just give you some parting advice, I would say that you have to treat your business. If you were a pilot, you have to pass a physical to be a pilot. And to be a truck driver, you have to take a medical examination to drive an 80,000-pound truck down the highway. what kind of medical test are you giving yourself to run your business? And are you, you're the CEO of your company. What are you putting on as far as requirements for your health? If you're smoking and drinking and drugging and eating and doing all the things you shouldn't be doing, then you probably aren't a very good employee to your corporation, and you probably ought to fire your butt. But you know, one of the things that you need to really look at is the denial factor. We always think that it's going to happen to somebody else. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? But you know what? Someday somebody will be saying that about us. So we just won't be around to hear it.
The denial factor. Thanks. Dennis Montalbano, German Auto Repair, Fresno, California. Thanks for coming on and sharing.
Thanks, Carm. Nice talking to you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.